Before we begin, let's take a moment to worship the Supreme One, the Infinitely Compassionate One, the Sublime One, the Tathagata, by chanting Namaskara 3 times, all together and with me. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. With the permission from the Buddha, Dhamma, the Mahasangha, let's begin. Uncertainty. It's a nice word, isn't it? Uncertainty. Which means what? We're not certain. We're not certain. It's a word that can bring, you can say, a lot of stress, a lot of anxious thoughts. And it's not something that we like. Because you can almost say that uncertainty is something that we try to avoid. Because it's something that brings us or makes us feel that, you know, what is going to happen, what may happen, what might happen, what could happen, what would not happen, and your mind goes in various directions trying to solve these questions that you have. And it's a feeling that we avoid. Uncertainty. That's why we do many things. Many things in order to become certain. That's why you'll, you know, phone and give reminders. That's why, you know, you'll make a plan. Sometimes make a backup plan. Sometimes make a backup plan. All in order to avoid uncertainty. But unfortunately, uncertainty is something that will always be there. Uncertainty is part and parcel of life, because uncertainty comes or stems from the feeling that I have to be certain. That I have to know what's going to happen. I have to know whether this is going to happen or that's going to happen so I can prepare myself. That's why, you know, growing up, one of the most stressful times that you've ever faced will probably be after doing an exam and before getting the results. Waiting for the results to occur. Or waiting for, you know, the call back from a job interview, whether you're accepted or rejected. I mean, even the email that says you are rejected is something that gives you a bit of relief. Why? Because that gets rid of this feeling of uncertainty. Because uncertainty is something that rules our life. Uncertainty is something that rules and adjusts us to make us feel certain, but then life finds its ways to, you know, throw lemons at us. But it all stems from the feeling that I must be certain, or I have to know what is going to happen. I mean, we all like surprises. To a certain extent. We all like surprises to a certain extent. If that surprise is something that you think is going to be good, you enjoy. But if you have a hint, a small hint of something negative that's going to happen, then that surprise is what? A good surprise. You see, the only way we can get rid of this constant feeling of uncertainty, the only way you can get rid of uncertainty is by understanding what? Is by understanding what is actually happening here. It's if you understand what is really happening, are you able to get rid of this feeling of uncertainty? For example, we can take many examples on where uncertainty rules our life. For example, I tell you to come up on stage and give a speech. Now, there'll be several people who are confident because they've tried and tested, and therefore they know exactly what they need to do. You want to see uncertainty? Where do you think this girl is going to go? Anyone scared of them? You know, who knows? It can come and attack you, you know? Yeah, there's many choices, like many different paths it can take. But it always finds its way back. You know, something that, and it's to do with Squirrel, so I'm on topic. Squirrel, something that Guru Har Har had told some of our children is he was giving almost like a, he was in this hall, talking to some of our children, and our very, very eventful Squirrel decides to pop up and climbing on the curtains. And funnily enough, what the children did was they opened these windows, letting the Squirrel to go out. But do you know what the Squirrel did? Ignored all the windows and went where? Went through the hole into the roof. And when that happened, what Guru Har Har said was this. That's the exact feeling I have when I see people. That is the exact feeling that I have when I see people. What he means by that, he's saying that the Buddha Sasana, or you know, there's these people who open the windows, open the way to get out. You know, not once, not twice, you know, they keep opening windows. But the squirrel always thinks what? They know best. The squirrel always thinks that I know where I'm going. I know where I should be. And so it goes to where it wants. Not outside, but up. When it enters the hole, now right now it's the morning, but when it comes to around noon, that roof heats up. Now the squirrel is going to be under so much heat. And not to forget, on the roofs as well, and then ceilings, you sometimes you hear the sound of, you know, snakes maybe, or maybe even like what do you call them? Lizards and whatnot, who would, of course, predator and prey, chase after the squirrel. When the sasana, when these people open the windows, the squirrel decides to go back to where it always goes, through the hole. Now, knowing this, knowing that there's an open window and the squirrel anyway decides to go up the hole, what do you feel? You know, squirrel, like, why would you do that? Such a waste. That's the same thing that our teachers have. When we do something, or when we fail to go through the open door that our teacher has holding open for us, the teacher can only feel compassion. The teacher can only feel compassion. I kept the door open, the squirrel didn't go through. When the squirrel comes again, so when it comes back down someday, It may be today, tomorrow, maybe in years, or maybe never will be. The teacher will always open the window again. If the teacher's there, the teacher will always open the window. So for example, if it's at night, the school won't be able to, you know, the teacher won't be there. But if the teacher is there, the teacher will open the window. And the school will go back through the roof. So yeah, so scroll, uncertainty. You know, this is the thing, you know, when it comes to looking at what's really happening, it's the only way we're able to not just get rid of uncertainty, but it's a way that we can truly enjoy. Because, you know, with this feeling of uncertainty, what comes up is this feeling of anxiety, this feeling of stress, this feeling of frustration, these feelings of what's going to happen or what has happened. And this feeling of uncertainty is what drives us to feel all these, you know, so-called negative emotions. For example, whenever something bad, whenever there's news of something bad, you know, people go and they ransack shops. Why? Because they feel uncertain what will happen. And then they only think about who? Themselves, no one else. Like I remember during COVID, that's about now many years ago, you know, we had to hear that shops are empty, that all the toilet paper have gone. Why? Because of this feeling of uncertainty. It drives people to do things that makes them think about themselves. Uncertainty. In a major scale or a minor scale, it's still uncertainty. We are unsure about tomorrow. We have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. And that uncertainty is what drives us. See, that uncertainty was what makes us feel the need to find a way to get as much money as possible. To earn more than what is needed because this feeling of uncertainty. What if? What if I don't have enough? What if I need this? What if I have to have this? What am I going to do? Uncertainty is what drives children to learn. Because parents will force a child and say, child, you know, when you grow older, you know, what are you going to do? How are you going to live? How are you going to eat? Uncertainty. And the child is forced to learn. Not because of the idea of getting the knowledge they need, but the idea of, I have to get rid of uncertainty. I need to be certain that my future is secure. Uncertainty. And in this day and age, uncertainty is even greater. What will happen tomorrow? Because currently, in the midst of this era of conflict, uncertainty is growing ever and ever. But uncertainty can only be rid of when one understands what is truly happening. When one is able to truly come to the idea or come to understand what is truly happening, is one able to get rid of this feeling of uncertainty? Now, what is really, and the question is then, what is really happening at this moment? You see, ladies and gentlemen, what is really happening is something that only you know. What is happening is something that only you know. What do I mean by that? Although in this room we have several people, each and every one of us Each and every one of us is having their own truth. Although you may say, I'm sitting next to a person that I know very well, or, you know, I'm in a place that I know, or, you know, I'm doing something that I know. You know, I'm with these people. I'm in a room of people. The truth that you feel is something that you feel. The events that are happening are something that's only happening to who? To you. Because who, in fact, who truly is experiencing what is being experienced? You. Your mind is arising due to what you see, hear, smell, taste, touch, and think. How do you know about the person next to you? How do you know that this person next to me is seeing and hearing and smelling and tasting and thinking the same thing? You know how sometimes, you know, you're listening and sometimes you take a detour? You're listening to something and you know, you find your mind finds a way to take a detour and go through, you know, something that's happened or, you know, something that might happen. But the person next to you, are they experiencing the same detour that you are? So this is the thing. The truth is something that can only be something that you can perceive. Or your mind can perceive. Because the person to your left, right, back, forth, their truth actually is irrelevant to your mind. Because only your mind is perceiving, and only your mind is perceiving at this moment. Now, that's not to say that the person next to you is not there. There is something there, but you have to perceive. This blue pen can only be, oh, this blue pen in my hand is perceived by that mind alone. The other minds are perceiving, but we have no idea what they are perceiving. Your mind is perceiving. Can you all see a blue pen here? Right? How do you know the person next to you is seeing the blue pen? Same blue pen. For them, they're seeing what they're perceiving. But you're perceiving what you're perceiving. That's why, you know, you will understand one thing and another person will understand something completely different. That's why they say, when you give a message to someone, always ask them for the message back. Just to confirm that they heard and they understood what you were trying to say. Because you can use the same words. You can use the same nouns, verbs, adjective, adverbs, but two people can understand it completely differently. Why is that? Because your mind is perceiving, and that mind is also perceiving. But this truth can only be put into your mind. For example, while I'm telling you all this, this is also running through whose mind? This mind. And when it's running through this mind, I'm understanding something. Are you understanding the same thing I'm understanding? I don't know. Because although we live in a world that, you know, we live all together, helping one another, especially in our monastery. You know, in our monastery, we have so many people working together to do all these amazing things. Like, for example, you know, last week I had the great fortune to go to Dambulla and help out with the work, help out with the meritorious activities there. There is news, but that news will be given by Guru Hargobind. And you know, such great, you know, for one example that when I went to Dambulla, something that I got to find out is how much great meritorious activities that our Sita Shravakas do on a bi-weekly basis. You know, you get to see these, you know, banana, like a massive area of just banana trees, all planted by hand by our Sita Shravakas. Sita Shravakas, as well as other people who have come for the to help out. Not just banana trees, we've got a mango plantations. There were so many different things. All for who? See, that's the one question. All for who? You see, in all this, we are all working together. However, your mind is alone. Your mind is perceiving alone. You know, you can hold hands in hand with someone else, but yet your mind is only perceiving by itself. That mind is perceiving by itself as well. So no matter how you know, although you may think that, you know, I'm with so many people. So for example, in our monastery, you know, we're with 500 people, but yet your mind is alone. Your mind is perceiving what it sees, hears, smells, tastes, and touches. But that loneliness isn't something, you're not alone, meaning that you are by yourself. No, the mind arises according to what it perceives. Your mind arises according to what it perceives. For example, your eye. You have two eyes. Oh no, two eyes is above average. But you know, majority of people have two eyes. Does a left eye know it is a right eye? Does a left eye know that it has a right eye? But does a left eye ever feel lonely? Does your left eye ever complain that I'm alone? No, your left and right eye work together, but they work alone. They work together, but they work alone. The feeling of lonely can only occur when you feel that I have to be with others. There has to be so many other people, but I can't be by myself. So the left eye is saying, I can only work if there's a right eye. Or the right eye says, I can only work if there's a left eye. But actually, they only work alone. Your mind can only perceive alone. Like I said, you can hold hand in hand with another person, but yet your mind will always perceive alone. The mind arises and passes. According to what you see, hear, smell, taste, touch, and think, it arises and passes. So the environment around you is something that affects your mind. The environment around you is something that affects your mind. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, don't think that, you know, I'm saying that, you know, we are all by ourselves, all alone, every man and woman for themselves, every person for themselves. So, you know, forget about other people. No, have compassion. Not compassion towards others, but towards, you know, the environment that we all share. Have compassion towards not to others, but to the environment that we all share. For example, if you see a person who looks thirsty, give them a glass of water. I mean, 100%. That is the most humane thing to do. Give them a glass of water. Not because you are trying to help them, but that is the environment they need at that moment. You are changing their environment. If someone is hungry, give them food. Not because you are giving them food, but you are giving them a different environment. For example, let's say someone's on a diet. You know, someone's decided that, you know, I'm not going to have lunch today. And you see them and you realize that they haven't eaten lunch. And you go serve them a plate and give it to them. Are they going to be happy about it? If they have good self-discipline, they'll be very unhappy. Means they're saying that no, I was not going to have lunch, but now you've served me. Now what am I going to do? Am I going to throw it, or am I going to have it? I don't know now. Now you can feel bad about it because you know you didn't know. You can feel bad and think, oh, why did I do that? That's wrong of me to do that. I should have asked them or something. But really, all you did was change the environment. You had a positive intention to change the environment of that mind. It doesn't matter what the outcome is. Like I said, the mind arises completely by itself. Your mind arises by itself. It arises and passes. That result, whatever that result is, doesn't affect. What affects is what you did and your intention behind it. So that's one thing. Understanding that it's a mind. We're always talking about mind here because that's what we use to perceive, a mind. Just having an eye is not enough. Just having your senses is not enough. What you need is senses and a mind. Senses and a mind will give rise to a perception. Senses and a mind will give rise to a perception. So for example, I, and also an object, or I, an object, plus mind, gives rise to a seeing mind. Ear plus sound, plus mind, gives rise to what? A hearing mind. Or a hearing conscious, or something that allows, or something that can hear. So we can always say that what is happening right at this moment is a perception is happening. That we are perceiving. Right now, we are perceiving. Now I want to take a small detour from this, and we'll come back to this. You know, when you come to realize that, you know, the mind is perceiving, the mind arises and passes after it perceives, right? So, you know, let's say you eat something. Let's say you're eating chocolate. When chocolate enters the mouth and chocolate touches the tongue, what happens? Taste and mind and the mind will arise, perceiving taste. Then, that mind will pass. It's over. Now, if you truly understand that, if you really understand that, a massive question can be asked. A really good question can be asked. The question, and then. The question, and then. And then what? And then what? Let's say you suddenly have a massive craving to have some chocolate. If you start to think, you can ask this question, and then what? How? you have a massive craving for chocolate. You know, let's say, you know, for some reason, you know, you woke up one day thinking, you know, I must have some chocolate, right? If you start thinking and you realize that, you know, it's a mind that's perceiving, a mind will taste, the taste will arise and pass away, then you can ask the question, and then what? The mind arises and passes away, and then what? What's going to happen after that? It passes away. You're left with what? Have you all eaten chocolate before? Have you all eaten chocolate before? I don't trust you. Prove it. Prove it. Prove to me that you've had chocolate before. Have you? Have you had chocolate before? You know the brown, you know, it looks like this sometimes, you know, sometimes like, yeah. Looks like this, brown, sometimes white, sometimes black. You know, different shapes. Chocolate, you know chocolate? You've all had chocolate? Prove it. Prove it. There are many ways, I mean, there are, or you can come up with very creative ways to prove it. One way was to take a photo and show a photo and say, you know, I've eaten this. But nowadays you can't do that because why? I can say, you know, how do I know this photo is true? How do I know the photo is true? It could, you know, now we have all these AI stuff, you know, it could be AI generated, who knows? Or Photoshopped, who knows? The only way you can prove to me that you've had chocolate is how? Well, you can describe it and say, you know, chocolate has a smooth taste. It tastes, it's very sweet, but also a tad bit bitter. I'm trying to think of, you know. You should ask like a chocolate connoisseur and they'll tell you exactly that. And it tastes like this, tastes like that, feels like this, feels like that, and this. But the thing is, you could have heard it from someone and just repeated, like parroted it back. I mean, I'm pretty sure you've all done this before. You know, you take some information and when someone asks you, you pretend as though you know very well and you start telling them exactly what you've heard. How do I know you're not doing that? The only way you can prove that you've had chocolate is by doing what? By having chocolate at this moment. And then you can say, you know, you can see me eating chocolate, right? I've had chocolate before. If not, how else? Can you like pull a memory and show a memory? Can you pull a memory from your, you know, from... Can you pull a memory and show it? You know, this is me when I was 5 years old eating chocolate. You can't. The only way you can prove it is by doing it at this moment. So, you know, let's say you crave chocolate, you're eating chocolate. And then what? The taste of chocolate becomes what? Or that event of eating chocolate becomes a what? A memory. And then, that's it. But I felt so much joy from eating that chocolate. Where does that joy come from? The joy comes from the craving that you have to eat chocolate, and then the lack of craving after you've had it, because you no longer need it, or no longer crave for it. That's what gives rise to that pleasure. But that pleasure is not happiness. You know, I'm going to work and work and work and work. I'm going to find a way to get $1 million in my bank account. And then what? And then what? The mind arose, the mind passes. Then that feeling of getting $1 million becomes what? A memory. Oh, with the memory, we also get what? We also get what? The right to what? Brag about it. Oh, you know, back then I got $1 million in my bank account. Again, something that you can use to call back in the past, but in reality, that mind arose, that mind passed, and that's it. And then what? What do you have after that? You work very hard and you get a, you know, you are able to afford a vacation in the Bahamas. You go there, you experience it, you come back, and then what? The mind arose, the mind passes, and then what? What's left is just the memory. What's left is just the memory. Now, I'm not saying that memories are useless. Because memories come with knowledge and experience, which are useful when making new decisions and whatnot. But, and then what? Let's say you and your neighbor are fighting for, you know, where to put the fence. You and your neighbor fighting for, you know, where do I need to put my fence? You win, right? You win this you know, year-long battle, and you put the fence where you want it. And then what? The mind arises, the mind passes, and that's it. Let's say you lost. Let's say the neighbors won. Now what? The mind rises, the mind passes, and then what? And then what? You know, this land is now mine. You know, I'm now the richest person in the world. And then what? The mind rises, the mind passes, and that's it. Because don't you think that's all just a feeling? You know, let's say, you know, you're the richest person alive. Isn't that just a feeling? Isn't that just a feeling that you feel? Can't anyone feel that? Can't anyone feel that? They can. Because feeling, because, you know, let's say I went to the moon and back. That's a memory and a feeling. Can't you feel it as well if you wanted to? You pretty much could. Have you ever had a, you know, what do you call them? Those dreams that feel so lifelike that you don't know whether it's a dream or not? Yeah, that it feels so real that you're confused whether it was a dream or an actual memory. Can't you have the same thing about going to the moon? Then what? You have gone to the moon. Don't you think, you know, if you really understand that, you know, the mind arises, the mind passes, the question and then what becomes a prominent question that you can ask at any time. And then what? Now, again, this is not me saying that, you know, what is the point of anything? Because then, you know, the mind arises, the mind passes, and then what? I'm not trying to say that, you know, there's no point in this. No, I'm trying to say that, you know, no matter what happens, the mind arises, the mind passes. So let's say, you know, you are having, let's say someone's done something wrong to you. The mind arises, the mind passes. Okay, that's it. Someone shouts at you. The mind arises, the mind passes. That's it. There's nothing after that. It becomes a memory and that's it, full stop. You make a mistake, the mind arose, the mind passes, and then full stop, that's it. But yet you feel that that mistake is something that I've done, and now you're, and to this day, you're still suffering from a mistake that you've done in the past. Because you fail to realize the mind arose, the mind passes, and that's a full stop, that's it. That's it, full stop. I made a bad decision back then. The mind arose, the mind passes, full stop. I shouldn't have done that. The mind arose, the mind passed, full stop. Then we try them. Then after that moment, we try not to have that moment again. We do what we can to, or we put together the causes so that that mistake doesn't happen again. That's it. So let's say you crave for chocolate. Now you know by eating it, what? The mind arises, the mind passes, that's it. But when it comes to something that we like, that's not the only thing that happens, is it? That's not the only thing that happens. The mind arises, the mind passes, and because of this feeling of pleasure, this feeling of this, you know, this craving and then the relief of this craving, the idea that chocolate is what made me happy becomes what? Stronger. The idea that chocolate is what can make me happy becomes stronger. And now your happiness is more and more and more dependent on what? Chocolate. Your happiness becomes more and more dependent on what? Of something or someone, or you know, becomes dependent. Ignorance, the feeling that this is what makes me happy, or the way what we call it is this ignorance becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. So, when you crave for chocolate, you eat chocolate. The mind arises, the mind passes. Chocolate, the taste of chocolate goes to memory, but the ignorance that, or the view that you have strengthens. Just the other day, I was able to, there was a small stream of water. And this stream of water, it was raining. Not here, but in Dambulla. I don't think it rained for a couple of days now here. But one thing that there is there was a small stream of water. It's going through the mud. Water going through mud becomes what? Muddy. Water going through mud becomes muddy. So that stream now becomes, it goes and stops at a small puddle. That puddle becomes what? Muddy. And that puddle becomes muddier and muddier and muddier. The more it rains, the more muddy it becomes. Now, that puddle, well, that small puddle used to be clean. But when the water went through the mud, it became what? Muddy. When it went through the mud, it became what? Muddy. And then I remember there's a canal built, a canal near the place as well. And it goes over rocks. Now it's raining really heavily. The water's what? The water's clean. Or not muddy. It's raining even heavier. But still the water's what? Clean. Because when your mind is dipped into this bucket, or you know, goes through this muddy area, because the rain's not the issue. It's where it falls onto. Your mind's not an issue. It's where it falls onto. If your mind falls onto this bed of ignorance, the only thing that's going to happen is that water's going to become muddy. If the rain falls, if the mind falls onto this bed of mud, then it's going to be muddy. This is why, you know, if you truly understand that this is the mind that arises and passes, there is no need for you to dip yourself in the mud, because you realize it's just going to become what? The mind will arise and pass. Would you do anything? Oh, let's say, all right. Let's say you make a deal with the devil, right? And they say, you know, I'm going to give you, you know, the devil comes up and says, you know, I'm going to give you $3 million. No, let's make it better. They say they're going to give you $9 billion. However, you only have 6 hours to live. No, let's make it nice. 9 hours to live. 9 billion, 9 hours. Would you take it? Would you take it? 9 million, you know, it's 9 billion, that's a lot of money. But you only have 9 hours. Would you take it? Majority of us will say no, because why? Not a lot of time. So what is the point of seeking this fleeting moments of pleasure with a mind that arises and passes a billion times a second? See, you see this? Now you don't. Now where is the pen? You see the pen? Now where's the pen? You can say it's underneath, you can say it's behind the table, but for you it's just a memory. Oh, there you go, it's come back again. And now where is it? Now it's a memory. Now your mind just remembers that there was a blue pen. So why seek for these fleeting moments of pleasure with a mind that is so, so temporary? It arises, perceives, and that's it. And that's not it, is it? The mind is not just something that's temporary. The mind also what? Loves to do what? Imagine. You know, this feeling of uncertainty is made in our imagination. Is it not? The feeling of uncertainty is something that's made in our imagination, is it not? The feeling of uncertainty. Has the plate fallen yet? Now has it fallen? Now? What about now? 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 Has it? But that feeling of uncertainty, that feeling that we have of uncertainty, that is something that the mind imagines. Because what are you all imagining? What are you all imagining? That the plate's gonna, or that the sauce is going to fall? Has it fallen? See, if I was to sit here and keep talking, it'd be very different to focus. Very difficult to focus. Because why? What are you most focused on? Uncertainty. If this was to like wobble a bit. Or if I was to wobble the table, would it work? If this was to like wobble. That's about the best I can get. Now it feels worse because why? Now you feel that, you know, this is what's going to happen and it's something that I don't want to happen. That's part and parcel of your imagination. You are imagining something that hasn't happened yet. But your mind says, look, this is what's going to happen and, you know, I don't like it. What's even worse is, this is not even yours. Is this yours? It's not mine either, but is this yours? Then why are you uncertain when it's not even yours? Actually, although I say it's not yours, it is yours. Why? Because your mind is perceiving it. And that perception's whose? Who does that perception belong to? You. That's why you think that, you know, I don't like it like that. You know, why can't we change it like this? You're welcome. That feeling of what's going to happen is part of your imagination. You are imagining, you're thinking, well, if it's like this, this is what's going to happen, if not changed. It hasn't happened yet. It didn't happen yet. But your mind imagines it and thinks that this is what's going to happen. Now you're stressing for something that's not even there. Because your mind uses its imagination to predict the future. But the future does not exist. The future does not exist. The future is just part and parcel of your imagination. You imagine that this is what's going to happen in the future. And not only this, your mind also imagines the past. What? Imagine the past? No, I can't imagine the past. I lived in the past. You know, just yesterday I was doing this and that. That's not imagination. It is. At this moment, it's part of your imagination. Have you not, you know, had like a conversation with a friend and you're having a conversation about what had happened a couple, say, months, weeks, maybe years ago? And you say something and the friend goes, no, that's not how it happened. This is what happened. And you're like, no, I don't remember like that. I remember like this. Because your memory is something that belongs to you and that is altered. Your memory is altered every moment. Your past is also part of your imagination. What you imagine that I was there in the past. That I was someone who was there in the past. So you're imagining both the past and the future, and they're both part. And these are both things that give you immense amount of stress and anxiety as well. Because all that you do have is this moment. So when the plate is on the edge, all that's happening in this moment is you're perceiving this. But ignorance and attachment comes in and says, wait. That plate will fall down. Has it? Not yet, but it will. And now that feeling gives rise to this feeling of vexation, this feeling of stress or anxiety, and then you try to do what you can to remove it. That's why uncertainty comes from the lack of understanding that it's only this moment that's there. If you truly understand that it's only this moment that we have, this very moment, what is there to be uncertain of? What is there to be uncertain of? We only have this moment. This is it, full stop. The mind arises. The mind passes, full stop, until the next mind arises. This is why, if you truly understand this, this is how you can enjoy every single moment of your life. If you truly understand that all we have is this moment, this is how you can truly enjoy every single moment of your life. Or else you can't. Or else you can't. How can you enjoy every moment when you're expecting something to happen in the future? Let's say you're planning for, you know, the most amazing holiday. Aren't you going to always be on the edge? Expecting, well, is this happening towards my plan? Am I going the way I'm supposed to be going? Is something, you know, is it going to rain tomorrow? Is it going to be sunny tomorrow? And you're planning something. And that, no, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with planning. Planning has to be there. But you also have this feeling that this is what's supposed to happen. Do you ever like post your own weather forecast to Mother Nature and say, you know, this is what I want, Mother Nature. And Mother Nature reads and says, oh, you want it to be sunny tomorrow. Let me change my plans. That's not how it happens. Instead, you know, you predict that it's going to be sunny tomorrow and it starts to rain. You can't enjoy this very moment if you have if you don't realize that all we have is this moment. For example, let's say the plate actually starts to fall. When the plate falls, when the saucer falls, will it shatter? That's your imagination. The answer to that question? Imagination. Will it shatter? Let's see. I'm joking. That's part of your imagination, because at this moment, all you're perceiving is this. At this moment, all you're perceiving is this. At the moment of contact, all you're perceiving is that moment. But yet your imagination puts them all together and says, you know, if it falls down, it's going to break and shatter, and we don't like that. It's going to break and shatter, and we don't like that. I don't want that to happen. But we all, the only thing that we have is this moment. You know, just a millisecond from the ground, will the plate shatter? A millisecond off the ground, will the plate shatter? We don't know. Let's say, you know, a person was able to run and catch it just a millisecond off the ground, then it wouldn't have shattered. Then it may not shatter. You know, I mean, how many different things that could happen? There are so many different things that could happen. But yet, our imagination says, this is what's going to happen. And it's going to happen in this way. And therefore, you feel uncertainty. And uncertainty gives rise to this stress, this strain, this anxiety, this all these different feelings. That's why to truly enjoy this moment, to enjoy every single moment, all we have to do is understand what is happening in this moment. See, can this plate break? Can the saucer break? Can the saucer break? Okay, let's watch it break. Let's watch it break. Can the saucer break? Already he's going to break anytime soon. The saucer can't break. What can happen? A different cause can happen. For example, an energy is supplied, or an energy is taken, or something in the plate can change. And therefore, the effect will change. So The question is, can this plate change? Can this plate be broken? Because this plate is there for how long? How long is it? What is this plate's lifespan? For you. For your mind, how long is this plate's lifespan? One mind. How long is your lifespan? One mind. But what about tomorrow? But wasn't that there yesterday? Wait, this was there, a couple minutes ago it was there. No, it's only there for one mind. One mind arose, one mind passes. That's it. The next mind arises, the next mind passes. That's it. That's it, full stop. That's all we have to do. That's all we have to come to realize that a mind arises and the mind passes. The squirrel arises, the squirrel passes. You know how fortunate we are, right? To be able to live in a world where we are able to use the understanding that we have to enjoy every moment. But then there are some minds that can't. I mean, not just myself, but there are several people, Guru Andhra, Nayakandhra, and some people who sit on the same seat and do the same, these sermons, but that scroll will never understand. That scroll will never understand. We can open every single window, but the scroll will go from there to there. And then back and forth. Because our minds are able to take in views. A human mind is a mind that's extremely special because it's a mind that can take views. Can take in views. Animals, you can't. That's why, we're very, very extremely fortunate. But remember, how long are you a human? How long is your human lifespan? The mind rises, the mind passes. The mind arises and the mind passes. That's it. Full stop. So, don't worry. The mind arises and the mind passes. See, we are all using our minds to imagine what's going to happen next. Where do you think the squirrel's going to go? Where do you imagine that it's going to go? You see, I mean, this the Dhamma is something that you can practice wherever you can. I mean, these are very simple things. The futures, every moment is something that's happening only at this very moment. What's going to happen tomorrow, we don't know. What's going to happen next moment, we don't know. All we know is that what? The cause come together, that's the effect. Where is Guru now? Who knows? The mind arises, the mind passes. The mind arises, the mind passes. You know, like I said, we're very fortunate to have the ability to understand how the mind works. Understand how the mind works and enjoy every moment. You know, this girl was very skittish, very scared. Because why? It imagines. It imagines what will happen, what might happen. It will never be able to understand that, you know, everything's happening at this moment. Everything is happening at this very moment. You know, we are very fortunate to be able to have the teachings that are able to help us understand, you know, the nature of nature. You know, this plate, you know, understanding that this plate is a plate for this very moment alone. The next moment, we don't know. No. You know, if I drop it, will the plate break? If I ask you, when will the plate break? You can't answer that question. When will the plate break? Today, tomorrow, yesterday, day before? When will the plate break? The plate will break when it breaks. The plate will break when it breaks. The saucer will break when it breaks. When the causes come together, the effect will manifest. That's the thing, you know. The past is part of your imagination. The future is also part of your imagination. What's left? This very moment. Enjoy it. Enjoy this very moment to the maximum you possibly can. By practicing. You know, whenever you see something happen, practice. You know, ask yourself, is this what's happening? What's actually happening? See, walking, the process of walking. Can you walk? Can you walk from here to the other building? No. All you can do is put the causes in at this moment. Who knows, as you're walking towards the, you know, as you're walking towards that, you know, You might trip over. You might trip over. Who knows? But is tripping over bad? No, it's just a moment. Enjoy it. You know, practice it. Put it into practice. Wherever you can, put it into practice. This idea that, you know, the future and the past is just part of your imagination. Now, that's not saying that you shouldn't plan for the future. Of course, plan. There's nothing wrong with planning. I mean, use your imagination to plan for the future, but understand that it's imagination. Use your imagination to plan for the future, understanding that's an imagination. That's all that we have to do. Understand that's imagination. That I can plan to make sure that this doesn't fall. How? By not putting it to the edge, you know, maybe keep it clean, tidy, and, you know, make sure no one comes around it. But it not breaking is part of my imagination. Everything working to my plan is part of my imagination. That's just imagination. But really what's happening is at this moment, the plate is coming together. At this moment, the table is coming together. You know, I could protect the plate. I can protect the saucer by making sure no one comes near and, you know, that I keep it in the middle of the table and whatnot. But who knows, something can happen, you know. One of these legs might break and it can fall over and the plate breaks. Okay. So? And then what? And then? You know, tomorrow I'm going to lose my job. And then? There was this massive fire and I lost my house. And then? And then what? Okay, so take this moment to understand, or take that moment to understand it's a moment. The mind arose, the mind passed, and now? Now what you do, what you is what you can do at this moment. Your future is a mystery. Your past is a history. Enjoy the present of the gift. Oh, the gift of the presence. This moment. Right. Do we have any messages? So we do have our Dhamma discussions at 12. At 12 in this hall today. As well, you are all invited to come. As well as something that I wanted to also tell all of you is that, of course, you know, in this day and age, you know, for example, in Sri Lanka currently we have a fuel crisis. It may not be a good thing, and you know, you know, it's very easy to point fingers and blame. I mean, that's what we're used to doing, right? Whenever something goes wrong, it's like, who's to blame? And you point the finger and you say, that's the person to blame. We all hate this person. It's all, you know, we hate the person. Oh, not person, or people, or thing, or whatnot. We always point fingers and blame. Instead, you know, we have to understand that what's happening is happening. Everything around us is cause and effect. When the cause come together, it's the effect. So instead of feeling anger and hatred, feel compassion. Feel compassion. That's all you can do. Feel compassion. Fill yourself with metta, with loving kindness. Understanding it's a mind. That you're a mind, the people around you are minds. Every so-called person is a mind. And a mind that has ignorance and attachment is a mind that's vexing. And a mind that's vexing is a mind that's suffering. May all minds be free from that vexation. May all minds be free from that ignorance. And may they attain the supreme bliss of Nirvana. I mean, that's the only thing you can wish for. For example, trust me, I don't think I know much about what's happening outside our four walls. But, you know, that's the thing, you know, that's why, especially in our monastery, we don't get to hear the news. What's the point? We find out something's horrible is happening. And then what? We do what we can. We live. We live to love. We don't love to live. We live to love. We don't love to live. We help what we can. We do what we can. And we do the absolute maximum we possibly can to help the people around us, to help all minds relieve themselves of mental suffering as well as sometimes physical, to do what we can to help one another. So fill yourselves with compassion. I mean, that's the only antidote. When there's anger, the only antidote of anger is loving kindness, is metta. Anger will never be solved with anger. We've seen it before. I mean, you know better than I do. The anger can never be solved with anger. Anger can only be solved with metta. Alright. Let's take a few moments to transfer our merits and conclude today's session. Let's take a moment to transfer all the merits we acquired by making offerings to the infinite virtues of the Noble Gem, chanting Pith, listening to Dharma, and engaging in various meritorious deeds today. So first and foremost, let's remind ourselves how incredibly fortunate we are to be in receipt of Buddha's teachings. And with immense gratitude, let's transfer the merits to the Bhikshu Bhikshunis, Upasakas, Upasakas, who since time immemorial have protected and preserved the sublime teaching of the Buddha and passed it down to the generation of the noble lineage in the form of the Tripitaka, which is thankfully available to us today to study, to understand, to comprehend Dhamma. Let's all take a moment. To transfer merits to all the members of the Mahasangha present throughout the world, including all chapters of chapters, who have dedicated their lives to the noble path and committed themselves to the betterment of all sentient beings. Let's not forget, among them will be the monks and nuns residing in local temples and nunneries who have always been by your side through thick and thin, come in and shine. Let's all take a moment to transfer merits to Guru Sananse, as well as the monks within the monastery, as well as the Anagarikas attached to the monastery. Let's all transfer the merits to all those who help disseminate the teaching of the Buddha, be there by trying to do his sermon, sharing them with others, inviting others to join them. May by the power of the merits, if any of them be born in the upper plains, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plain. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from meritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to the friends of the monastery who, for sake of merits, continue to sustain the Mahasangha. This includes everyone of you who have contributed to the construction of the monastery, to those of you who provided the Mahasangha shelter, arms, and medicines, as well as those to pass on their hearts and their well wishes. May the power of the merits, if any of them have been born in the willful plains, may they redeem themselves and born in the blissful plane. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's take a moment to transfer merits to our mothers, fathers, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews, nieces, sons, daughters, and all those who helped us, support us, assist us in shape or form. By the power of the merits, may they be healed any physical mental ailments. May they overcome any obstacles in their spiritual progress. May they abstain from meritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's take a moment to transfer merits to the devas, brahmins, spirits, demons, prana sakadevas, numerous gods and deities who committed to protecting and fulfill the Dhamma of the Sasana. Let's not forget, among them will be our guardian deities who keep a watchful eye of us and keep us out of harm's way. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from meritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss in Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's take a moment to transfer merits to our ancestors who predeceased us, to all that have been friends of family to us in this even long journey, Sansara. Let's also take a moment to transfer the merits to all those who have lost their lives in natural calamities such as tsunamis, earthquakes, landslides, pandemics, reminding ourselves among them will be those who have been friends of family to us in long journey, Sansara. May by the power of the merits, if any of them have been born in the willful plains, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plane. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss in Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And finally, let's all resolve, may the power and the blessing of all the merits acquired throughout the day. We've been witness the event of many hundreds of thousands of Arhat Nuances, Arhat Mahinuances, in this blessed land. And finally, to the power of all the merits acquired throughout the day, may you and I, and everyone who made the program a success, become an Arhat Nuance or an Arhat Mahinuance in this very life, in the era of the Gautama, Supreme Buddha itself. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. May the blessing of the Noble Triple Gem be with you all. The members of the Mahasangha now transfer their blessings to you. Raga ginnin midetnva, dvesha ginnin midetnva, moha ginnin midetnva, Nibbana param sukhayin sukita taravitnva. Nibbana param sukhayin sukita taravitnva. Mamada siyalu loka siyalu satnvayo. Nibbana param sukhayin sukita taravitnva.
සියලෝක සියලු සත්ත්වයන් නිබ්බාන ප්‍රමසකින් සුඛතර වේ.